hot yoga for your mind combined with a Spartacus moment. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
I don't even know what that means. What is hot yoga for your mind? What is that anyway? Well, as you just heard, Pat Sajak, now the chair there at joining Hillsdale College. A lot going on at Hillsdale. As I've often told you, my father attended Hillsdale, but that was long before Hillsdale was cool like it is today. Also joining Hillsdale is Molly Hemingway, the Federalist senior editor, just named Hillsdale College's senior journalism fellow. She's on the program with me now. Molly, welcome to the show.
It is great to be here with you.
Good to have you here. Of course, you've been front and center in debunking a lot of the things that go on with the Mueller report and collusion and so forth. And so, obviously, you're out there front and center, done some great work, I think, debunking, dismantling, and disarticulating this whole nonsensical idea that somehow Donald Trump had the red phone to Vladimir Putin and they could figure out how to win the election by cheating. Where are we in that conversation today, Molly?
Well, it's interesting. It's one of these things where the entire theory was kind of silly, but everyone fell for it. Everyone in the media fell for it. A lot of people in Washington, D.C. fell for it. A lot of normal people never fell for it. But here in Washington, D.C., it was definitely something people bought into. And they spent years investigating it. There was a year of an FBI investigation, or nearly a year, before the Mueller probe started. And then the Mueller probe lasted for nearly 2 years. Every stone was turned over. Everybody looked into it. The Mueller report ended with zero indictments for collusion with Russia, even though everyone said that there was going to be evidence that Donald Trump was a stooge of Vladimir Putin.
Some still do.
And it also became clear that the investigation had moved on from Russia collusion a long time ago and into this curious theory that Bob Mueller had about obstruction of justice, that by being upset that he was being investigated for a thing that didn't happen, Donald Trump was obstructing justice. And so everyone seems to have moved on from Russia collusion and right into this bizarre theory of obstruction. And they seem to be just as motivated toward impeachment now as they were before the Mueller report came out.
It's Trump at all costs.
And I think that's because it was never really about Russia. It was really just about hatred of Donald Trump.
Well, clearly. I mean, it's Trump at all costs. It doesn't matter what it takes to get there as long as they get there. And you look at things like, you know, the media say, well, you know, Bob Mueller, he's a Republican, as if that's relevant. You know, Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney and Ben Sasse are Republicans, too. I don't think they care much for the president, right? So just the idea, well, he's a Republican, so therefore it's on the up and up. That's meaningless, and you throw it out there, right?
Yes, and to me this is very interesting, because what happened in the 2016 election is the media completely missed it. They completely didn't understand what was going on, in part because the only Republicans that they may have known were elite Republicans who also didn't understand what was happening with much of the Republican Party. After they completely messed up the 2016 election, then they couldn't deal with the fact that they'd messed it up. So they decided that it wasn't that they had messed it up, it was that the Russians had messed it up.
Well, clearly, you know,
so
they should get out
to blame. So then they continued with this Republican Democrat narrative, completely missing the real story, which is that both Republicans and Democratic voters in America are frustrated with what's happening in Washington, D.C.
Oh, they clearly are.
Traditional party barriers or party lines aren't, you know, making the same sense that they were previously. So it's all kind of related.
Yeah, the day after the midterms, I made it clear to the people listening to this program two things. Number one, Donald Trump had to reconnect with folks here in Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin to make sure he stayed in touch with the working class voters that sent him to the White House in the first place. And the warning to the Democrats I had the day after the election was, don't overplay your hand. Good Lord, they did not listen.
No, it's a benefit to Republicans that they probably don't deserve, which is the craziness of what's happening.
It's insane. I mean, you live in insanity there inside the Beltway. But come on, Molly. The things that we're seeing about you know, reparations and abortion on demand anytime when you're pregnant, and this Green New Deal and open borders and a 90% income tax and lower the voting age to 16, get rid of the Electoral College and pack the Supreme Court. I mean, it's just one crazy idea after another.
And yet, one of the things that you see is that these ideas are not treated crazy by the media, in part because the media aren't just more liberal than the average American. They're even more liberal than the average Democrat.
Well, so I was
pushing the Democratic Party into these. You know, they encourage.
Sure, they do.
The swing to the left, and it's not being matched by what Americans actually want.
I've tried to share with people today. I was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner Saturday. And what an education that is. I understand. I mean, but what a bunch of sanctimonious, self-congratulatory weasels. I mean, honestly, and there's a few of us in there that are, you know, commonsensical and so forth. And I have some friends in there. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's a dark day and, you know, it's a, you know, this whole thing that fake news and the enemy of the people. Well, you know, telling people things that are not true and being reckless with the facts is dangerous to our country. You know, having to go back and retract. Am I wrong about that? I mean, being wrong time and again, whether it's the Washington Post, the New York Times, you know, too many cable networks to mention, right? I mean, they're wrong so often and so horribly wrong. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. Of course, they have no shame.
I understand that they don't like the president's rhetoric, extreme rhetoric on the press. And even I look at this sometimes and I worry because our laws protecting freedom of the press are good, but sometimes the culture around it isn't good. The thing they don't understand is the reason why they're able to be mocked and derided and made fun of and dismissed is because of the bad job that they're doing.
Sure.
And rather than improve the work that they're doing or apologize for how badly they have done things, they instead get mad at the person who's at the people who are complaining about them. I thought what was interesting, did you hear Olivier Knox's speech where he said he divides his life between before February 2017 and after February 2017? This is the head of the White House Correspondents Association.
Right.
So he said because that's when Donald Trump said that the press were the enemy of the American people. And I was thinking, I bet a lot of Americans also see a dividing line there, too, because they have been complaining respectfully for decades about the bad media coverage that was out there and how unfair the reporters were about how they covered conservative issues or abortion or any number of things. And the media didn't listen. They only got worse. And then February 2017 was when a Republican president seemed to look at this issue similar to the way they looked at it, which is this is dangerous. It's propaganda.
Exactly.
It really needs to stop. Not that.
Well, this media, the same media that told us that Richard Nixon would take us to nuclear war, Ronald Reagan would take us to nuclear war, Donald Trump would, you know, every Republican's taking us to nuclear war, and Democrats take us to nirvana. So before I run out of time here, Molly Hemingway here with the Federalist senior editor, joining Hillsdale College as a senior journalism fellow. Does that mean you'll be teaching at the Mass Avenue building there in D.C.? What are your responsibilities? We've got about a minute here, not a lot of time, but you're joining the staff. You're going to teach a class. You're going to share your expertise.
Yes. Students, there's a program for students where they can come out for a semester in Washington, D.C. I'll also be visiting the Hillsdale campus, which I have previously. My husband and I were fellows there. And a lot of the work that I'll be doing will just be done supporting the excellent work of John Miller, who's there in Hillsdale, who runs the journalism program.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll just be working with students, also working a bit with alumni, just making sure that the great work that Hillsdale does with students gets to actually result in people having excellent careers and being able to share what they've learned there.
Well, I think that Hillsdale and the students are a great benefit to have you there, Molly, because you are a voice of reason in a storm of nonsense, generally speaking. And I'm glad you're one of the reporters that will venture beyond the Beltway and actually come see us here in places that, you know, decide elections and so forth. Molly Hemingway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
There you have it, Molly Hemingway from The Federalist, and now with Hillsdale College, the senior journalism fellow, The Steve Gerber Show.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. Every Army National Guard member serves not only to protect the nation, but also their local communities, so they each have a stake in the security and well-being of the neighborhoods where they live and work. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. Since the early days of our republic, the Army National Guard has continued its timeless commitment to guarantee peace and security for all Americans, a proud legacy which has endured for nearly four centuries. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. Selfless service, it's what inspires the men and women of the Army National Guard to be part of something greater than themselves. To learn more, Log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area. Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds. And most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.